How to do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. It is Friday, January 3rd. This is 2020. I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have two special panelists who are going to talk to us about basically next week's shows. With me, I have Dave Hamilton. Hi, Dave.
Hey, Kelly. Thanks for having me.
I'm glad you're here. And also with me, I have John F. Braun. Hi, John.
Hi, Kelly.
And both of you are here today to talk to me about what we're going to be doing next week, which is talk about all of the stuff and how many pairs of shoes you're each going to wear through, because you will be in Las Vegas next week at CES.
We will. I always bring three pairs of shoes, all of them comfortable.
Yes.
Last year, I only bought two, and our first day there, when we had a free morning, I took John to the mall next to our hotel, and I bought another pair of shoes. So there you go. You laugh, but it's
true. But were they 4K? Like, that's all you can buy at CES, right?
No, well, CES hasn't. So CES is an interesting thing, right? We will get there. We're flying in on Saturday, so tomorrow. And then the show floor, so the exhibit hall, doesn't open until Tuesday. Mm-hmm. As I have found throughout the years, far more of most trade shows happens off the show floor. At CES, that is taken, for me anyway, to an extreme. There are two sections of the show floor that I find valuable, and the rest of it is like a waste, a truly waste of time. Even the valuable parts are a waste of time at most times, simply because the people that are there that are on the show floor are not generally press. There are some of us that are press, but right. It is an industry conference, right? And so a lot of what happens on the show floor is people that want to get, say, distribution with Best Buy for their, you know, widget that they're selling or whatever mm-hmm. it is, right? So the press stuff is very difficult to make happen in any sort of efficient, repeatable way on the show floor. It can and does happen, but there are better ways. So we get there on Saturday, and then on Sunday and Monday are like all day long media days. I actually have a private briefing or two on Sunday, and then we go to an event called Unveiled that CES puts on mm-hmm. that is only for press. And there are three of these events. One is put on by CES, that's Sunday night's Unveiled. Then there's two others that are put on by third-party companies on Monday and Tuesday nights, respectively, Pepcom and Showstoppers. And those events allow us to talk to companies that are expecting to talk to press. They're like 4 hours of, as my friend Chris calls it, speed dating with the press.
Yes.
And it's awesome. Everybody has basically the same size booth. I think there are no booths. Everybody has a table. It's either, I think you can get like a 6 foot table or a 10 foot table, depending on how much you pay. Right.
Yeah.
But other than that, everybody's equal. And there's no like, oh, I've got to traipse around this crazy display because they've got this thing. And nope, it's all very well organized. And you can just bounce from table to table, or if you want, you know, if you know who you want to see, you can go, you know, specifically to different places. But it's super efficient. And the nice part is, if, for example, Mr. Braun is chatting with someone, and normally if John's chatting with somebody, he's covering them, so I don't necessarily have to. But if any member of the press, including Mr. Braun, is chatting with someone at a table where I want to learn, I can go up and just eavesdrop on the second half of his conversation with them. And it's likely very relevant and valuable to me, mm-hmm. right? And then I can, when that person's finished, now they can restart their spiel and I get the first half, and then I can split at the halfway point because I've heard it. So
right.
It's super efficient, and we're able to see a lot of stuff. And there's, as we were prepping for this episode today, I had to be really careful because so many of the things that I'm looking forward to covering aren't going to be announced until Sunday night or even Monday morning.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to be careful not to step on those toes.
And to me, that was always the weirdest thing about CES is that, like, I've heard people say, you know, officially it stands for Consumer Electronics Show. And for most people, it stands for Coming Expected Spring. Because most of what you're seeing there isn't real, which sounds
right.
like a weird thing. But yeah, it's all stuff that's gonna happen, things that will come out, or sort of it's almost like the auto show concept cars, but for televisions. Like
yeah.
this is where you see the 400 inch diagonal but half inch thick TV you know, that Samsung's putting out or whatever. And like a lot of that stuff is not going to have any sort of practical application in the actual world, but it's really cool to go look at. You know,
oh, it's cool. Yes. And just as a note of correction, CES used to be the Consumer Electronics Show. Now it is simply CES, and they made that change a few years back.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, obviously we know the roots of the name, but they don't call it the Consumer Electronics Show anymore. It is just CES, whatever that might mean.
So okay. Now, Kelly, I'll mention that what you're talking about is one area that I like to go to. At the show, and they call it Eureka Park.
Mm-hmm.
And this is stuff that's a lot of it exists already, and some of it is, as you said, coming real soon now. But personally, I always like to hit that area, and I get a list of people that are specifically showing things there because it's stuff that's unexpected, at least to me. You know, there's other stuff, like, you know, I almost like tune it out is like everybody and his brother is introducing headphones and earbuds and microphones and stuff like that. And I just get overwhelmed. I'm like, you know, at some point it's like, you know, kind of like iPhone cases. It's like everybody and his brother has an iPhone case. It's like, you know, what are you going to do to surprise me? So, but that area I find useful. And I think the other area that both you and I are going to check out, Dave, and I think you mentioned it to me. I don't know if you mentioned it, Dave or Kelly, but, they have a specific smart home. Area.
That was probably me.
that would be Kelly. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And there's a number of people concentrated there. And also a couple of things I got on my list too is that both Z-Wave and Zigbee apparently are announcing new features to their protocols, those being, I would say, the two major smart home RF protocols out there.
Yeah, the thing about that Eureka Park area is most of CES is fairly big budget, you know, booths where people bring either their marketing team or their, you know, PR agency folks. And rarely do you talk to the person who like made the thing. You're just talking to people that are there to market the thing. And that's fine. And that's how the world works. And that's all cool. At Eureka Park, the people that are there are the folks that stayed up until 2 a.m. putting the finishing touches on the prototype that they are literally there showing you. And most of the companies in that Eureka Park area, it's basically for startups, right? And most of them are emerging products. Most of those companies will not exist past Friday of next week. Like, this is their budget. If something doesn't happen miraculously that gives them more runway with their company, like, it's back to the day job, you know, on January 13th or whatever it is. But it's infectious there. Because these people are so convinced that what they have created is going to not only change their lives, but change everybody's lives. And so it's like that Steve Jobs reality distortion field a little bit. Like I have to, as I go through there, I talk to these people and, you know, I get excited because I'm just that kind of guy. And I, you know, I feed off of that energy. And then when I leave there, I kind of have to look at my list and be like, okay, which of these things am I actually going to tell people about? Because they're not all as exciting as it felt in the moment, you know, and I sort of scratched through it. But it's fun to go spend half a day there or whatever. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And as you said, half the people that hand me their card, I'm like, oh, you're the CEO. He's like, yep,
you're the one.
I'm also the developer.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm the developer and the CEO. I'm like, wow, lots of hats.
And then there is a what they call this year the mobile devices pavilion. Its name has changed a few times. It started as the iLounge pavilion. And then when the partnership with iLounge stopped, they called it the iDevices pavilion, I think. But it essentially is anybody that in our industry and sort of spilling beyond that. But really, it's the Macworld Expo refugees is where that started. That whole iLounge pavilion was like, okay, Macworld Expo is not going to exist. We need a home for these people. And so let's partner with someone in that industry to, you know, legitimize it. And they partnered with iLounge and, you know, that's how that all came together. But so there are a lot of those sort of Apple specific and even Mac specific vendors that find their way to this. It's the mobile devices pavilion name is a bit of a misnomer. Now, I mean, it's not incorrect, but it's, you know, I guess Macs are relatively mobile too, right? It just depends on what you call a mobile device. But so there
this is
that.
The part that's that the for section. For most Apple users is going to be familiar because you're going to see people there like Belkin and iHome and Moshi and Mophie and, you know, places like that, like names that we hear a lot as places, people that have updated all their stuff for the new iPad, or there's a new computer and so now they've got a new thing that fits that exact configuration, things like that. So
I think Matthias will even be there. I know Matthias will be at Showstoppers, and I think they also have a spot on the show floor in that mobile devices pavilion.
But, yeah, I met Edgar at CES. From Matthias.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I did go ages ago. I did get to go back when it was still the iDevice pavilion, and yeah, it was very much Macworld refugees.
Yeah, it's like old home week. You can kind of, it's the one place of the show floor that I like feel comfortable giving myself permission to wander.
Yeah.
Everywhere else, if I don't, like, it's a surgical strike. I am going to that booth and then moving on to that booth. Wandering at CES is just a waste of time.
But, head down, eyes forward. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But I am, one thing I'm looking forward to, and I again, there's enough of it that is under embargo until like Sunday or Monday that I can't talk details yet, but stay tuned, is in general Wi-Fi 6. I think this is going to be a show full of a lot of Wi-Fi 6 stuff. And where that gets interesting is in twofold, right? Number one, the iPhones 11 all have Wi-Fi 6 chips. So that, you know, it's a faster, protocol that runs over 5 gigahertz for Wi-Fi, and so you can connect your iPhone's 11 to these Wi-Fi 6 routers, which may or may not matter. Where Wi-Fi 6 really kind of gets interesting for me is with mesh products, because even if you have zero Wi-Fi 6 devices in your home, if you get a mesh product that has Wi-Fi 6, well, now it can use that Wi-Fi 6 to communicate for the backhaul, further alleviating the need for any Ethernet or anything like that, because it's way faster. We'll see how the range is. I haven't tested any of these products. I think that's, you know, like you said, that's probably going to be happening first half of this year. But that to me is the part that gets really interesting in a general sense, is being able to use that Wi-Fi 6 as backhaul. And then you have it as devices come out. Why the 16-inch MacBook Pro did not get a Wi-Fi 6 chip is a mystery we will never solve. I mean, we can make lots of presumptions about supply chain and all of that, but it's just one of those, like, really? Oh, that's interesting. Okay. Let's hope it's planned for future Macs, but, you know, whatever. So, yep.
So you're definitely looking forward to Wi-Fi 6. John, I know you mentioned the home automation. Is that what you're looking forward to?
Some of it, because I'm still adding devices, and there are a couple of vendors that are so they also, and then it crosses over with some other things that I'm interested in. So there was more than one on my list of companies that make devices that'll protect your IoT network. Well, especially in light of, you know, Ring had that exploit, or supposed exploit, where, you know, you could hack someone's Ring account and then, you know, talk to the kids, which, that's kind of...
Which we talked about on the show,
disturbing. Okay, you did. Yeah, I figured you would. So, so I'm sure they've upped their security with 2FA or something like that, but...
I admire your optimism,
seen those, Tom. And then I've seen things that also just claim, well, you know, we're gonna adjust your house by adding additional sensors. We're gonna make it, you know, more tuned into what you're comfortable with. And then some explicit security products, like one of them, I don't know if I can talk about it, but it's
security's okay. Important. Well, we can leave it at you're gonna look at some security products, and we will hear more about that stuff next week, as it's stuff that you get to talk about.
They're multi-factor authentication, at least one vendor. It's a multi-factor in that it's a thing that you have, but then it also includes, you know, like maybe biometrics or something else. So it provides you with multi-factor stuff for your computer. And I think even this time around for NFC devices. So stay tuned for that. So that excites me, because.
Yeah. Yeah,
well, Judd, like, it's time for security to start being tacked on as part of any conversation that people are having. When it comes to adding new stuff to the network in your house.
Yeah. The challenge is making it so that, you know, mere mortals can understand how to use it and why they should use it. And that's right. Not always, you know, like right. Apple's 2FA is, well, not really. It really isn't. It's more like two-step. So,
yeah. But it's good that it's, I mean, you got to start somewhere, right? Like, yeah. So there's a certain amount of that. Dave, now is probably the point in the show where we talk about how it is that the two of you get to go to CES every year.
It's true. I do. Before we lose the thread on home automation, I'm very curious to see how much Project Connected Home is discussed next week at CES. I haven't seen it show up in any press releases or anything. I mean, I haven't been like eagle-eyed looking for it, but it has not been the lead of anything. I'm curious to see, when talking with Smart Home and, mm-hmm. and all of that, how far along this Project Connected Home truly is. For those that don't know, that's the Amazon, Apple, Google, and Zigbee working group that plans to develop the sort of universally interconnectable home automation stuff. Yeah, so that'll be
sort of the Wi-Fi networking standard. Like, it's open, it's established, it's common, everybody can use it. And yeah. This is a way that you can tell devices in your house to do things and also have them all work together. For example, right now, one of the things that we're troubleshooting in my house is, how do we get this hub that we're using that we don't like, that has a hard interface, that is impossible to get support for when things are broken? How do we get that thing out of our network and try to manage everything with other stuff? And it's really hard. And the reason it's hard is because everybody uses their own standard. And, right. You know, we're trying to decide, here's a dated reference for everybody. We're trying to decide whether, you know, what, like, we want to buy a bunch of videotapes, and which VCR can I put them in? And is it VHS or is it Betamax? And how do I get rid of the Betamax machine but still get to watch all my movies? Like, that's where we are.
Yeah, it's crazy. So, yeah. So anyway, I'm curious about that. But to answer your question, yes, CES, it takes a lot of time. In fact, we were saying in the most recent Mac Geek Cab that we were recording that I think I started my CES prep mid-November with mm-hmm. all the things to cover there. You have to sort of pick out what you're going to do before you ever leave the ground. In fact, you know, I make like Christmas, my schedule is basically frozen by Christmas. I leave some room for, you know, some important things,
yeah.
but it takes a lot of time, both ahead of time and also then on the ground. And then there's the expense that comes with it. And we really couldn't do it the way we do it without our CES 2020 sponsors. And those include iMazing, Otherworld Computing, Text Expander, and Carbon Copy Cloner, all folks that really care about the Apple market. And that's really kind of where we go in our heads with approaching CES, is how do we filter this through and find the things that are important to our audience that is primarily an Apple market. Yes, smart home fits that. Okay, great. You know, but that's our job, is to dissect it, sift through it both before and during, and find the things that we think are going to be of interest to you. Obviously, you know, as our audience, we're sort of self-selecting of one another. The things that interest you are likely the things that interest us. So it makes it a little easy.
Yes.
But that's the beauty of it, right? So yeah, thanks to Otherworld Computing, Text Expander, Carbon Copy Cloner, and iMazing for really kind of making next week possible. And 100% of them are returning sponsors too, which mm-hmm. is something that they deserve a lot of credit for. So thanks to all of them.
And related to that, as we talk about sponsors here on TDO, another thing that's going to happen is that next week, the two of you may be recording live from CES, talking about what you're seeing, what you've heard about, stuff that's been unveiled, whether it was at CES unveiled or not. And you're going to be doing that probably a couple of times at least. Here on TDO, so that people are sort of getting the news as it happens, right?
Yep. We'll take over TDO. We found that it's logistically simpler for us to just do it as opposed to trying to sync up with you to do it. So there you go. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. For
sure. So at least a couple of times next week, it will be the John and Dave show live from Las Vegas.
You got it.
Reasonably live from Las Vegas.
And, reasonably live. That's right.
Yeah. So. And they will be talking to you about stuff that they've seen, interesting things that are appearing in the show floor, maybe overall trends. If Wi-Fi 6 turns out to be the new hotness, I'm sure Dave, you'll see a bunch of it and we'll get to hear about it. Actually, using Wi-Fi 6 for backhaul like makes me think, even though I don't have a need because I have that dead spot in my house for a mesh network, that's sort of making me think, like, if I can have all the backhaul offloaded like now, that sounds really appealing. So I might actually like, this sounds like something I should know more about. So yeah, it might be time to go mesh Wi-Fi in my house. If we can figure out all of the networking for the automated and smart home stuff in the meantime. So I'm definitely looking forward to hearing what you want to know about that. If any of you have heard anything about CES or people who are going to be at CES or things that are announced at CES, dear listeners, you can always send us a note and we can try to make sure that John and Dave are keeping an eye out for it. So you can email us at observations@macobserver.com. You can get us at TMO Daily on Twitter, or you can leave comments in the show notes for this particular episode. John, what are you, if you can talk, you can at least talk about the companies that you're talking to. Is there anybody that you're particularly excited to meet up with once you're there?
It'd be hard to pick. Now, I indicated the areas that, you know.
But generally, you're going to be smart home. So, like, it's a good thing I have your phone number because I will be texting you. You need to talk to these guys because they announced this thing and it looks awesome. Yeah.
Smart home would, I think, be of most interest. Security, second. Actually, another thing is that I saw more than one company coming out with what they believe to be an innovative charging product, because who doesn't need to charge, or long distance charging. That's another thing I saw a couple of companies talking about. So
interesting.
Like to get more info on that.
I'm always interested in charging anything that makes that
Eureka Park
possible.
For stuff that's kind of off the beaten path. So that's what's in my head right now.
All right, Dave, what are your broad areas of interest?
Yeah, no, I can talk about a few of the companies that I want to see. Fujitsu is one. Netgear is another. Bodyguards. Catalyst. I can't tell you.
Oh,
yet.
Catalyst. I'm always interested in what Catalyst is up to.
Same. Spec is also there. You know, you mentioned cases being sort of dime a dozen companies. There are a few case companies that sort of, to me, rise above and they are some of them. So for sure, looking forward to that. And there are some interesting earbuds too that, you know, again, sifting through, it's like, this sounds interesting. This, you know, or it looks interesting. We'll see how it sounds. So there's a couple of those. And then, you know, a company like Anker and a company that makes similar stuff to Anker, Aukey, A-U-K-E-Y,
yes,
with chargers and things like that. The folks that are really on, I don't want to say the cutting edge, but
they're always innovating though at a minimum.
The innovative edge, right. They're using technology to sort of change the game, routinely and reliably, which is great. So Aukey and Anker are two companies that I'm really, looking forward to checking out. And my charge is in that group too. So,
My charge has been getting my attention lately. They've been doing some interesting stuff. They have a battery that I really like because it's got the prongs that just pop out of the side of it. So you don't have to have the charging cable. You just plug the battery straight into the wall. And then it's got the USB ports that you charge out of, you know, when you take it with you. And that's a super duper cool device. So I am very interested to see what comes out of CES this year. Partly because of the charging. I think wireless charging is finally at a point where we can start seeing some cooler stuff with it. Companies that are doing air power because Apple couldn't for whatever reason. I think there's going to be some of that happening. And I'm always interested in how we can easier ways to charge things. That's always going to be, you know, whether it's because the cables got better, because the connectors got better. You know, whoever's going to solve the problem of someday I'm going to need a new laptop and Apple has given up on MagSafe and I have not. who can fix that for me? That kind of stuff. So I'm always interested to see, particularly if they've got, you know, like Anker and Aki have actual hardware that's out now that you can see that is new, you know. So I'm very curious what they're going to take to CES as, you know, something that we're going to do, not something that we're already doing. So I'm very interested in that. I hope all of you enjoy the CES shows next week. In the meantime, I want to thank both of you for being here. Dave, thanks so much for coming by.
Thanks for having me. This is fun.
I'm super excited to see what both of you end up with. John, thank you for being here.
Thank you, Kelly.
And I am your host, Kelly Gamont. I will talk to all of you on Monday. I hope you all have a great weekend. And in the meantime, be excellent to each other.